Well, Paul, this year the sun has been very active. It's not supposed to be. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to be on a downturn. But, you know, it has been very active. We've been lucky that some of these coronal mass ejections haven't been faced directly to us. We'd have some real problems. Does this cosmic wave, when it hits, does it also affect the sun? And if so, how does it?
Yes, definitely. For one thing, the dust that it pushes in would come in, sort of shroud the sunlight, would form a dust cocoon around the sun. It would also activate the sun to become more of a flaring type of star. We see stars like this. They're called T. Tauri stars. They're surrounded by dust. They're similar to our sun. It's just they have a dust around them, and they're continually erupting with flares.
It looks like the star's on fire, by it literally, all
well,
around it, right?
The photosphere of the star actually expands. It's become so energized. If you can imagine solar flares that are going on continuously, whereas today we have a cycle where it's not only continuous, but there's always flares on the surface of the star. And sometimes several eruptions at one time that could add up to a very large coronal mass ejection. Much more powerful, much more frequent, much more X-ray radiation being given off. This could cause, for example, geomagnetic flips when they hit.
I got to tell you, too, Paul, I was amazed in the video, Earth Under Fire, how many mainstream scientists except this theory of yours. They're coming on board. They're not throwing this away. They're not laughing at this. They're taking it pretty seriously, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, so far the theory has made 13 or 14 predictions, a priori predictions that were published and later verified, which is pretty good track record.
Yeah, I think so too. Do you believe that when these hit, in your opinion, it could come sooner than later? I mean, might we be, and I know you don't know the exact date here, but, I mean, God willing, we're talking about thousands and thousands of years away, but my take is that you think it might happen much sooner.
Yes, I give a 90% chance it would happen in the next, let's say, 300 or 400 years.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean it might not happen 2012 or sooner. You really can only go by probabilities based on the past. What we really need is some information, suppose that there were civilizations living closer to the core, to the galactic core.
Right.
That knew the time that the wave passed there, and they were able to relay to civilizations further out to know exactly when this would arrive. Really, you'd have to go to a more advanced culture out in space.
Now, how many civilizations knew about some of the past cosmic waves that practically destroyed the planet and life as they knew it at the time?
Well, you mean how many cultures, or?
Yeah. I mean, we've got the Hopis as one. There were numerous ones, weren't there?
All over the planet. Virtually every culture has stories about this.
All similar stories.
Right. It's amazing. In my book, Earth Under Fire, I have a page that I list just for the flood stories. The various cultures. I don't know if I can find it right now, but
okay. But this is the flood, of course, we know in the Bible, the one that Noah was involved in. Is that the
right
one?
Yeah. In fact, there's one book that was written that they thought it was due to the Mediterranean overflowing through into the Black Sea, which would have been a very local event.
Does this cosmic wave, Paul, create a tsunami and high waves?
Yes, it would create earthquake effects. But what I was saying, that in actuality, this event of the flood was something you find in stories all over. It's not just a localized one. These are not localized myths. You find them in North America, Siberia, South America, Japan, China.
Do they all talk like the Hopis of an impending cosmic wave again?
Well, they talk about cycles. This is a theme that you find very frequently, that there are cycles of destruction which end ages. In my book, I have a whole chapter on cycles of destruction. I've studied cultures from around the world that have this theme, and they're very similar in many respects. It's just the kind of destruction that ends the age varies from one culture to another, or like, for example, in the Hopi myths or one given culture, they will have a different destruction for each cycle. But in actuality, all of these things are happening. It's not just one thing.
Yeah, I've got to ask you, as we talk about the Hopi, and I don't know if you got involved in this end of it or not, Paul, but they have also drawings of what they call ant people, very similar to gray aliens that we talk about today. The large heads, the little bodies, the long fingers. Might we be talking about the same thing, extraterrestrial visitation, and the Hopis knew about this?
Well, they talk about their peoples being led by a cloud to some underground kivas to weather out the event. So this sounds a lot like Close Encounter.
Yeah, it does.
In other myths of the Hopi, they talk about it being as a light in the sky that they were following. At one point in this event, I believe it was a coronal mass ejection that hit the Earth and actually ignited the surface. You find actually a black horizon down there at a certain level, which is between what the geologists refer to as the Alarod period and Younger Dryas.
Yes.
And it's called in Europe the Ucello horizon. A geologist I met a few years back, Hans Klusterman, was researching this, and he found it all over Europe. It's actually about 10 centimeter blackened layer. And he was doing studies over here, too. He finds it in the southwest, although here, geologists will just say, "Oh, well, that's just a mat, that black mat, maybe due to certain lichens or something that discolor it." And yet, it occurs at the same boundary, at the time of the extinction of the mammals, the mastodons and the saber-toothed tigers. We had 95% of the large animals die off in this continent at that time.